have the opportunity to bring our tithes and offerings glory to God. And that is part of worship. You knew that, right? It's part of what they did when they came to the temple. And what they did on the first of the week, the Bible says they would bring what the Lord had blessed them with or increased them, it says. Hallelujah. So anyway, if you have a Bible and you'd open it with me to Matthew chapter 15, let's see if we can build some faith. Is God a God of prosperity?
Yes.
Does he prosper you?
Yes.
Say this, God.
Prospers me.
When I obey him,
and
do what he says,
I am blessed,
just like he says.
Like
it's how God works, you know. Anyway, so Matthew chapter 6. Ooh, I'm going to have fun tonight anyway. Matthew chapter 6. Where do you think I'm going to read? Anybody got any ideas here in Matthew chapter 6? Somewhere around 30s, something like that. 32, 33, yep, probably. Anyway, you ready? Let's pray. Holy Ghost, I worship you. I thank you that you're God in the earth today and you see every single one of us. You know where we are. You know where we're at. You're not condemning us. You are bringing us up. I ask that you open our ears that we may hear, that we may see the way to go forward into your kingdom, into your prosperity, and please you, and therefore be blessed by it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
That's the way it is too. You please him, and then you're blessed. You please him, and then you're blessed. You know that, right?
Yes.
All right. So here it says, let's read 33, lest I get caught up in some of the other things there. But seek ye, who's speaking here?
Jesus.
Is he important?
Yes.
Is he an important figure in our belief system?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
You would have to say so, right? but seek here, so here he's saying, seek ye third.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute, I must have the new translation, the slacker translation. Seek ye what?
First
the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the good thing about the tithe, is because if you have the tithe, then you know it came off where? The back?
Yeah.
Came off the top. So you sought first the kingdom of God and his, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, here at the Holy Ghost Society, who's God?
The Holy Ghost.
Now, am I making this stuff up? Is this just me? But I'm a preacher and I have to preach this, all right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We know that God in the earth. Would it be beneficial for you to know God in the earth?
Yes.
Definitely.
Right? How about financially to know God in the earth?
Yes.
Yes. He has a kingdom, believe it or not. Well, I don't believe it. Well, this doesn't apply to you then. But if you're a believer, you believe that the Holy Ghost has a kingdom in the earth, right? Seek ye first, meaning you put it first. You don't put it second. You don't put it after everything else, after the family, after all of the other stuff. There's a ton of things we could put it after. Believe me, I know. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, the Holy Ghost, and his righteousness, meaning how to be right with him. If you ever asked yourself, how can I be right with God? That's you seeking the kingdom of God and how to be right with him. Well, if he says something to you, or thankfully we've got a whole book that's just chock full of things of how to be right with God, right?
Yes.
That's his righteousness. So seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and this is where the faith comes in. If I do this, he will do that, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his way of doing things, and two things, whatever your choice, will be added unto you. You can pick two things, maybe three if you can squeak it by. Is that what it says? No, and all these things, and earlier he was talking about what the Gentiles seek. All the things, even imagine that. What do Gentiles seek? A lot of things. All of those things that they sought for will be added unto you. Let me say that again. All the things that the Gentiles sought after will be added to you. Say, added to me, right? But that's the promise of the scripture, but you have something to do. Seek you, right? And it doesn't mean we're there yet. We've got a lot to learn about the kingdom. We've got a lot of, you know, but there must be a way. God's not going to tell you to do something that's impossible for you to do. That would make him unjust. But it might be that you're not doing something that he's told you to do that's making it difficult on you, unnecessarily so. Sound like you're preaching at me. I'm a preacher. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So, saying and doing right, you can understand that. Let's see here. Where are we going to go next? Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. I'm going to try to make this short. Well, that will be a first, brother. So you got to, if you're seeking first the kingdom, is his kingdom first? Yes. Yes. That was a quick answer. Most people have to sit there and go, well, I hope so. Right? I liked it. That's the way it should be. The answer should come before I even ask the question. Is his kingdom first? Well, one way to know is to look at your finances to see whether it's first or not. You know? Seek ye first. God won't make you do it. Will he? Has he ever forced you to put his kingdom first? No, of course not. That's not the kind of God he is. The kingdom, seeking the kingdom, or the kingdom that you seek, and this is what I really want to establish today, not all that other stuff. The kingdom that you seek is by and in the Holy Ghost. So if you're seeking the kingdom, you're going to seek the kingdom by and in the Holy Ghost. You understand that, right? Yeah. I just got a couple scriptures here to prove that point. Matthew, I said 12. How about 28? Just we'll skip a whole bunch of stuff here. Matthew 12, verse 28. Here's Jesus again. Said, if I cast out devils by what? The Spirit of God. Who would that be? The Holy Ghost. If I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. So Jesus did something by the Spirit of God, and therefore the kingdom has come unto them, has come unto them. So when you do things by the Spirit of God, that's the kingdom. Are you getting this? Is that too far of a stretch?
No.
So the kingdom is by the Holy Ghost. That's how they were praying, thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come. That couldn't happen until Holy Ghost. You understand? If I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God. So I do things by the Holy Ghost, that's the kingdom. Say that. When I do things, by the Holy Ghost, that's the kingdom. Now, if I were to seek the kingdom, what do I need to be seeking? The Holy Ghost and doing things by the Holy Ghost, that's me in the kingdom. When I do things by the Holy Ghost, I'm operating in the kingdom. When I don't do things by the Holy Ghost, I'm operating in some other kingdom. Right? Actually, when I'm obeying the word that's written by the Holy Ghost, I'm operating in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And when I don't, I'm not operating in the kingdom. Is this making sense? Mm-hmm. Okay. So we've proven that the kingdom of God that you seek is by the Holy Ghost. Let's see if it's in the Holy Ghost. Let's go to Romans. Romans 14. Ha 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 ha. Ooh. Romans 14. You know, Jesus went around and he said he preached the kingdom. Right. So who was he preaching?
The Holy Ghost.
It was Jesus' main message. Even though people didn't know it, it was the Holy Ghost. Because they couldn't know it yet. Mm-hmm. You understand? But you know it. What did I say? Romans 14. Mm-hmm. Let's look at verse 17. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Romans 14 verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat. Also, you know, could be what is it when you're not meat?
Fast.
You're fasting. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is in the Holy Ghost. So if I'm in the Holy Ghost, what am I in? The kingdom of God. The kingdom of who is God?
The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost. This isn't rocket science. So the kingdom of God is in the Holy Ghost. So the kingdom that you seek, remember, seek ye. Who's ye? Ye means me. Say ye means me. So when I seek the kingdom, I'm seeking in and by the Holy Ghost. Is this good?
Yes.
Yeah, because he's in the earth today. So the kingdom of God is in and by the Holy Ghost, and we will be giving our tithes and our offerings to God in the earth today. That's where they belong. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
We're giving them to him. They are we're act of worship to him. And is it good to know that he's in the earth?
Yes,
because then he can take those and do his job in the earth and keep his covenant with you in the earth and make all the other good things happen. Are you still here?
Yes.
Now, we really don't give the tithe. I wrote this down earlier. We really don't give the tithe. We bring it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't give something that isn't yours. And if you know about the tithe, you know it's his anyway. That's why we bring it with an act of worship. But who? What I'm trying to get across here is who we bringing it to.
Yeah.
We're bringing it to God, who is the Holy Ghost. Does he see it? Yes, because he's in the earth. We don't really bring the tithe. I mean, we don't really give the tithe. We bring what it, because it's already his, but we give offerings because they are from us. You understand?
Yes.
Anyway. So, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Have we got that established? Who are we seeking? We're seeking the Holy Ghost in general. In and by him, then we're in the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What do we know here about righteousness? Righteousness predominantly is saying and doing according to his word, but in agreement with his word. When I do act in agreement with God's word and I speak in agreement with God's word, I am walking with God, and that's called righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Is that good that we have a God who's in the earth today?
Yes, it is.
Does it mean anything?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I wanted to go through before we take up our offering. Our tithes and offerings. I wanted to run through these prosperity confessions. Here, you can hand those. I just need one. Prosperity confessions. This is an act of righteousness.
Yeah.
when we bring our tithes and offerings, when we bring our tithes and give our offerings, it probably should just say it that way, that is an act of worship. This is an act of worship. This is an act of righteousness. Now, I won't ask you how many people have been doing these every day. Most of you, I hope. And you know, I listened to a tape series where we did, and I heard every one of your voices on it, by the way. way back, we were on Union Street in Old Orchard Beach. Remember that? You're all very loud back then. But I made the statement way back then that it was my desire to see every one of you pray in tongues every day for how long?
An hour
a day. An hour a day. And I'd say that was minimum. How long have I been saying that? That was a long time ago. And I, of course, I won't ask you how many people have been doing that either. But those things are all sowing to the Spirit. When I say sowing to the Spirit, who am I talking about? Mm-hmm. I'm sowing to the Holy Ghost. I'm sowing to the kingdom. And then I'm going to reap from the kingdom. Amen. You understand? Same thing with giving and receiving. You give to the kingdom and you receive. So you're giving to the Holy Ghost. Right?
Yes.
Are you ready? Yes. Let's just read these all together. I'll probably be a little quicker with it. You ready? Holy Ghost, I worship you. You are God in the earth today. I walk with you and serve you by saying these words. God, the Holy Ghost, gives me power to get wealth. The Lord my God teaches me to profit and leads me by the way that I should go. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on my behalf because I worship him. He goes before me and prospers my way. The living God richly provides me with all things for my enjoyment. All God's blessings come on me and overtake me. The blessing of the Lord makes me rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of me, his servant. Money cometh to me now. My days of lack are over. My days of wealth have begun. Poverty is behind me now. I give, and it is given unto me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, do men give into my bosom. I sow bountifully, I reap bountifully. God makes all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing come to me in abundance. I bring all the tithe into the storehouse and prove God with it. He opens to me the windows of heaven and pours out blessings on earth that there's not room enough to contain. I am the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. I lend unto many and borrow from none. Wealth and riches shall be in my house. My righteousness endures forever. Excellent. Now, if you have your tithe, your offering, or anything, I remember being in one place, I just put some pens in there. That's all I had on me. You got it? Say this after me. Holy Ghost,
Holy Ghost,
I give my tithe and my offering
to you.
And I expect you
to bless me
and multiply my finances and my financial affairs in every area. I worship you with this, and I thank you for your abundant blessing that is happening right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't untie your bow tie. All right. Glory be to God forever. Well, we've been talking about faith. Faith, is that good?
Yes.
I'm preaching on faith. I'm a faith preacher. I believe in faith. In God's word, first and foremost, faith to translate. Now, people are like, "Ooh, faith to translate." Well, we do everything by faith. You understand? Mm-hmm. And faith to translate is the same faith. Hope you're hearing. Faith to translate is the same faith to translate you from poverty into abundance. It's the same faith that will translate you from sickness into health. Amen. It's the same faith that will translate you from worn out parts into youth renewed parts. Mm-hmm. Say youth renewed parts.
Youth renewed parts.
Come to me.
Come to me.
Right now.
Right now.
Right? It's the same faith. It translates you from one to the next. And there's a progression. We go from faith to faith. Right? From one faith to the next faith. I've been over a lot of this. And it's glory to glory. It takes faith to go to the next glory. Wouldn't you say that being healed of something is a glory? Yeah. Right? Wouldn't you say being delivered of maybe some debt and into abundance, wouldn't that be a glory?
Yes.
Yes. So, but it keeps going until we go from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. It never runs out. Until it runs out. Yeah. I like to say it that way. It never runs out until it runs out. What do you mean it runs out? Well, you've used it all up over here. Mm-hmm. And then there's one more step, because we go from glory to glory. We don't go from minuscule glory to the full glory. You understand?
Yeah.
All right. You get it. You've been here. So anyway, we're going to talk about faith anyway. I hope you're good with that. How does faith come?
Hearing.
So faith comes by hearing. That's Romans 10:17, right? Mm-hmm. Faith comes by hearing. And what?
And
there's
hearing.
Two things. It says it comes by two different things. Mm-hmm. Not different. Two things, though. Hearing and hearing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. Because you can hear something. And believe me, people have been in meetings for years and have yet to hear it. Because if they heard it, faith would come. You see?
Yes.
You see? Jesus walked around and said, "He who has ears to hear." How many people maybe that heard Jesus say, "He that has ears to hear," didn't really hear what he was saying, but they heard what he said? Yeah. Well, anyway, we're going to talk about faith here. So we're Hebrews. Did I tell you that? Mm-hmm. No. Hebrews. And what would be a good chapter in Hebrews? Anything in Hebrews? Mm-hmm. What's considered the faith chapter, though?
Yeah.
In Hebrews 11. And that's funny, because we have a lot of different things from Hebrews this evening. So you really could just read about anything. But we're gonna focus in on something here. We all know verse 6. Are you there? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. We all know this. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. Is it possible to please him without faith?
No.
No. For he that comes to God must believe that he, number one, is, and not only that he is, but that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently seek. Remember, we were talking about seeking the kingdom. Diligently seeking him would be diligently seeking the kingdom. But anyway, we know that verse. Let's look at verse 5, the one right before it. Somehow got snuck in here. Verse 5, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated, meaning he was translated from one thing to another. And I've applied it to finances, I've applied it to healing, I've applied it to age, I've applied it to basic things that we deal with on this side. Mm-hmm. You understand? But Enoch was translated from this side to the other side, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he made it all the way. And in my estimation, that's called finishing your race. That's called fulfilling the course, right? The faith course. What are the first two words? By faith, Enoch. How was Enoch translated? By faith. Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Meaning, there's supposed to be a time when the body of Christ puts what under their feet? Death. Death is the last enemy to be put under our feet. By faith, Enoch was translated from faith to faith, you could say, that he should not see death, and was not found, meaning somebody looked for him, because God had translated him. God who? The Holy Ghost translated him. So he must have pleased God, which is the very next verse. Are you still here?
Yes.
So he had faith to be translated, and his faith pleased God. His faith in translation pleased God to the point where he could be translated, and was not, for God had translated him. For, you still here?
Yeah.
For before his translation, when would that be? After his translation?
Before.
No. You mean in midway of the translation?
No.
No. Before. And it doesn't say how long before. Now get a hold of this. It doesn't say how long before, because it doesn't say how long before you get healed you had a testimony that pleased God. That is, by Jesus stripes I was healed. You understand? Well, how long are you supposed to say that? Until your translation. You get it? Same thing, you know, when you're believing God for finances, what if it doesn't show up on the day you expected it? You give up. You go and cry in a corner. No, that's not how faith works. Before his translation, he had this testimony. What's a testimony? Things that you say. He had things that he said that he pleased God, or that pleased God. And he knew the things he was saying was pleasing to God. Right? Well, that's how his translation took place. I needed to establish that. Now, if you have a Romans in your Bible, I don't think I've ever framed it that way, but if you have one of those, a Romans in your Bible, go to the first chapter. We'll do these real quick. Some of this I did cover last week, but it's important to hear it and hear it. I heard that, but did you hear it? Right? I heard it and heard it. Now, one thing I didn't say about Enoch that I'll probably get on a little bit later is Enoch is a type of the last day church. He was where? He was at the beginning, and we're at the end. The end shall be like the beginning. The beginning shall be like the end. He prophesied of the very, very end, right? But his life was a prophecy, and we are supposed to live a life that in some way typifies what he typified. Mm-hmm. Meaning, we're translated from glory to glory to glory. Mm-hmm. Are you getting this? So, Romans chapter 1. Let's look at verse 17. And herein is the righteousness of God. The righteousness, we've been talking about that a little bit. We're the righteousness of who? The Holy Ghost. God revealed from faith to faith, or from one faith to the next faith, or from one level of faith to the next level of faith. Right? Let's say from one level of giving to the next level of giving, which takes faith. Mm-hmm. You understand? I'm okay with giving $10, but $20 is my limit. Mm-hmm. Are you here?
Yes.
From faith to faith. That's not my limit, by the way. Wherein the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by their feelings. No, the just shall live by their circumstances. The just shall live by the hand that's been dealt them. Woe is me. No, the just shall live by faith, from faith to faith. Because if the just can learn to live by faith and take that first step of faith, they'll be able to have another step of faith given to them, and then they'll go there, and there is no end until there is an end. Mm-hmm. You understand that?
Mm-hmm.
So here we see that it is by faith that we progress or make progress. Are you getting this?
Yes.
How do we progress in the things of God?
By faith.
By faith. We go from one faith to the next. Our faith, we feed our faith, we exercise our faith, and we go to the next. Mm-hmm. If I go to the gym and I try to bench press 200 pounds, it's not going to happen, is it?
No.
If I go to the gym and I pick up the little girly weights of 2 pounds each, they're probably not going to help me very much to become the buff thing that I desire. Is this right?
Mm-hmm.
No, you're going to have the faith that causes you to push a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Faith always causes you to push a little bit. It's never comfortable. Is it comfortable to push the next level of weight?
No.
Is it comfortable to run the extra quarter of a mile?
No.
No. I lost a lot of people there because they don't want anything to do with well, I have to do something about it. Yeah. If you're going to go to the next level of faith. But believe me, it's well worth it. It's how we live. So we make progress by faith. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Your Bible should open to these places right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You there?
Yes.
Where am I going to read?
17.
2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. When's now?
Now.
So now the Spirit of the Lord, or the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, or where the Spirit is Lord, there is freedom. And really, you can start to understand it's to the degree that the Spirit is Lord is the degree to the freedom you have in that said area.
Yes.
Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 18. But we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of myself in the mirror. No, the glory of the Lord. Thank God you aren't changed into the image of yourself in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
How much would you be changed? None, except backwards.
Mm-hmm.
So each day you'd be changed a little backwards. No, but you're changed into the image you see.
That's right.
Of Him.
Mm-hmm.
When do you suppose you're seeing Him?
Mm-hmm.
When you're worshiping Him. Very good. Are you here?
Yes.
Whose glory are we changed into?
The Holy Ghost,
the Spirit of the Lord. We're changed from His, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So He's the one we're looking at. He's the one we're worshiping, and we're changed into His image from one glory to the next glory. Can you see the same exact progression here? Before it said from faith to faith, and here it says from glory to glory. And we saw that Enoch was taken all the way to the last level of glory and stepped over by faith to glory, glory. Are you here?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's where we're going. I hope you knew that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't end here. So there is no translation, there is no transformation. I kind of use those things, those words interchangeably, forgive me. There is no transformation without the Holy Ghost. Have I established that? It's His kingdom, it's His faith that we get and then exercise. It's His glory that we go from one glory to the next glory to the next glory. Does this make sense?
Yes.
Where do we get that? Holy Ghost, even as by the Spirit of, even as by the Spirit of the Lord were changed. Is this making sense?
Yes.
I understand that you understand it. A lot of people online will be scratching their head going, oh, what's he talking about? Listen to the first two tapes, right? There is no transformation without the Holy Ghost. Every single transformation is from Him. It comes from Him. It comes through Him. It comes by Him, the Holy Ghost. And we're changed from glory to glory to glory to glory. And when we get good at it, we'll eventually just run out of glories. Are you here? So we make progress from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord and by faith in the Spirit of the Lord. It's not too far of a jump to go there, is it? Because the Word came by the Holy Ghost. Anyway, so Galatians chapter 3. Well, I don't want to be changed. Well, you're in the wrong place. That's what we're doing here. We're being changed. I'm being changed. Say, I'm being changed
by the Spirit of the Lord.
And my faith
is
rising
to
a new level. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Hallelujah. So, Galatians chapter 3. You there? Galatians chapter, where should I read here? I better not ask that. There's too many good places. Galatians chapter 3, put you on the spot. Look, verse 2. This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit, right? He's talking about, did you receive the Spirit? This only would I learn, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. How did they receive the Spirit? You heard about the Spirit. Remember in Acts chapter 19, they said, we've never even heard there was any Holy Ghost. And this was years after the Holy Ghost came. We didn't know about it. Well, how could they make progress in the Holy Ghost from glory to glory not knowing there was a Holy Ghost? They couldn't. Can you make better progress knowing there is a Holy Ghost? And knowing Him and worshiping Him and having faith in Him who does all the transforming things. Anyway, this only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the what? Hearing of faith. See how faith is connected here. We hear about the things of the Spirit and our faith rises and then we receive Him in that capacity. Say, receive Him,
receive Him in
that capacity. A lot of people would receive the Holy Ghost and have their inner man regenerated to become a child of God. But that's it. All his other stuff passed away. Other people would receive him as the baptizer, right? And they begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave. How did they come to that? Hearing. Somebody preached to them that that was a thing the Holy Ghost did. Mm-hmm. How about healing? Oh, the gifts of healing has passed away. The gifts of healing passed away. Is that true? Mm-hmm. No, somebody preaches that, you know. And unfortunately, the people that hear that preached mm-hmm. are not going to be able to receive the Holy Ghost in that capacity as one who heals them. And most people don't preach that God prospers people or increases them. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you hear that, then you know, wait, your faith is in the Holy Ghost who prospers you. He's God in the earth today. What can't He do? Right? How about youth renewal? Can He do that?
Yes.
Do most people know that about Him?
No.
No. Even though the father and mother of our faith, you could say, Abraham and Sarah, that was the one main thing he did, other than prospering them, that everybody poo-poo on too. But he renewed their youth supernaturally.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the same faith. Say the same faith.
The
same faith as Abraham in the same Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting anything out of this?
Mm-hmm.
So, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Well, obviously the answer is by the hearing of faith. But if you don't hear about or hear preaching or hear the doctrine or hear what the Holy Ghost is doing in this day and age and where he wants to take us, you can't go there. But if you do, if you hear, listen, if you hear, you can go there. Say, if I hear,
if I, hear
I can go there.
Can go.
Well, what if nobody else does? What if? How many people were on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus? 3, 4, 5, because Moses and Elijah were there too. But they were already there. They knew this. Verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun? What does begun mean?
Begun.
Well, it means begun. It means the beginning. Having begun. He's going to tell you in a few short words where you begin. Isn't it good to know where to begin? Mm-hmm. Yes. Having begun in the Spirit. First he said, received ye the Spirit by faith, right?
Yes.
So you began by faith in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect or made mature? We'll use that for right now. Mature by the flesh.
No.
A lot of people like to do that. They like to get started with the Spirit and then just work, right? And eventually they get off. Having begun in the Spirit, you're now made, or you make advances. You move on to perfection. You make steps of advancement. You progress by dependence on the Spirit. You began in the Spirit by faith. You make progress to perfection in the Spirit by faith. Can you understand that?
Yes.
Seems pretty simple to me. You make it easy on me. I was telling Olivia one time on the drive home, said, sometimes you want a little resistance so you can work on something for a while and beat it up and down this way and that. But when you're so in agreement, glory be to God, this comes out so easy. Hallelujah. And I don't mean that. I don't want resistance. But I'm used to it. You understand? I'm used to it. So we make progress in the Spirit by faith. Now, I spoke earlier a little bit, I mean literally a few minutes ago, that we go from glory to glory. We go from one type of redemption to another type of redemption. If it's not preached in your church, then you really have a hard time going there. And if you do go there and you start talking about it, you're probably going to have to leave there, because they don't believe that, they don't want anything to do with it, and you will be confronting their unbelief, which nobody likes. You understand? But there are many types of redemption. I'm specifically here tonight talking about and preaching the highest type of redemption. You understand? That doesn't mean I'm discounting any of the lower types of being, you know, delivered from all those kinds of bondages into the liberties. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Including sickness and age-related things and poverty and all those things. Those are being, you can be redeemed from those things. Those are different messages I've covered quite well in my estimation, right? But I'm talking about the highest type. So we've gone through glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. The highest type is being delivered from the bondage of corruption itself into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Well, that's a powerful mouthful. Yeah, it's in Romans 8. Most people would quote Romans 8. Here it is in Romans 8, verse 21. Delivered from the bondage of corruption, corruption itself, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now, mind you, any of those people who stumbled over those lower levels of going from glory to glory, faith to faith, aren't even going to be considering anything like this. You understand? They're just going to put it off to some place in the future. So we make progress to perfection. This is winning the race. Are you here? Did Enoch win his race?
Yes.
Yes. Are we a type of Enoch?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. This is the winning of the race. And what if nobody preaches this? What if? There will be no faith to go there. That's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
unless you by yourself, you just figure it out on your own and you go there by yourself, that's all well and good, I guess. Good for you. But it must be preached to be believed, that you can see the Spirit of God is taking you there. How many can testify the Spirit of God is taking you there? If you can testify the Spirit of God is taking you there, then you've had it preached and you've heard it and you know this is the direction you're going, and he will go there. Mm-hmm. Same with any of the other things. You can't go there unless you've heard, as we go there by faith. So, glory to glory. Question: what if there were no more glories to be obtained on this side? Where do you go next? You got mega faith now. You're still pleasing God with faith. What's going to happen? Translation: you're going to go from this glory to the next glory. It'll just be a step. You know, people talk about when they leave their body, it's just like it was almost nothing. You think it'd be a dramatic experience, it's just like, ooh, it's just like a step, and you're over there. Mm-hmm. You were over here, now you're over there. Translated. Mm-hmm. One glory to the next. What if there were no more glories to be attained over here? What then? You go there. Mm-hmm. You think it ends there? I don't think it does. Why would it exactly? So we're talking about crossing over, faith to train. Are you getting some of this? Mm-hmm. Is this message is to strike your spirit. It's like throwing spaghetti at a wall to see if it's cooked. You know, and I'm gonna keep throwing it until I know it's cooked. Right? But it'll make an impression on. Now, I was in a meeting in the 1980s. I can't remember the year. Probably could if I started thinking about it, but was in this it was a faith convention, and I won't say the preacher or any of those other things because I don't want to get involved in that, but he started preaching. He began preaching on prosperity, and this was well before the prosperity message had really taken its hold, and he was preaching on prosperity, and he bumped up into this, and he said there will come a day when we have done everything we can do over here, and the only next place we can go is over there. It's the only thing that will support us. Are you seeing this? Mm-hmm. Now, I could probably bring that up to him and he wouldn't even remember it, but I heard it. It did something to me, and it affected the way that I think and metabolize scripture now. I believe the Holy Ghost can go there. I believe I can go there because the Holy Ghost is going there.
Yes.
Are you seeing this? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm trying to get over to you tonight. Are you getting this?
Mm-hmm.
Can't go there if you don't believe it. Some have never heard this message. I would say that a majority of people have never heard this message because they're still struggling with so many other things. So, this message about being translated, glory to glory, faith to faith. Are you getting it? Does it mean something to you now? Faith to faith. There's got to be an end. Where's the end? It doesn't end over here. It ends over there. Faith to faith, glory to glory. We received by faith. We're moving on with him by faith.
Mm-hmm.
One level to the next level, to the next level, to the next level. Until this level, the levels over here aren't enough, and we go over. Was he, the Holy Ghost, going to reveal this to the early church? And you might go, oh yeah, yeah, he'd reveal it to them. Problem being, the early church was a baby church.
Mm-hmm.
They were all they didn't even have a full text of scripture, you understand? So they were all just dealing with life in general. They were all in a babyhood state. It didn't mean that. I mean, we find this the roadmap here, of course, in the scriptures, but it wasn't revealed to them because it wasn't their time. They aren't the last day church. They aren't typified by Enoch, right? They were beginning of it, and as the body of Christ, they were very young. They were infantile, or they were just babies, just beginning to grow up. Do you see this?
Yeah.
So when I say now, was God going to reveal this message that I'm talking about to them? The answer will be no, they're not ready for it. He couldn't because they were babes. Does that make sense?
Yes.
This message is a mature message for a mature and end time church. You got to be willing to receive it, to hear it, to believe it, to believe you can go there. You understand? The Enoch. Enoch's the type. Youth, children, youth are still under a veil, so to speak. Do you reveal everything to your kids? No. God, no. Right? You don't, you know, they have to learn some things on their own as they grow up. Is that right? Especially when they're young, they just have to obey you. They don't need to know all the intricacies of how things work, and right, you understand? So they're still under a veil. It's not a bad veil, but it's still a veil. It's something that keeps them from seeing all the way. I call it the veil of immaturity. Now, should the church after 2,000 years still be under the veil of immaturity? No. Is the church 2,000 years later still under the veil of immaturity? Yes. And they really have no excuse for it, do they? Immaturity. I don't want to. You ever heard that? That's like a favorite thing for somebody that's immature. I don't want to. Yeah, but I told you to. I don't want to. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Never heard that before. Well, it goes right along with I can't believe that. And that's understandable. If somebody's a baby in the faith, they can't believe it, they can't hear it, I can't see how it would come to pass, and they don't have the tools or the understanding of how to believe it. Belief comes a certain way, and part of it is hearing this message. Mm-hmm. Right? The problem is you got a lot of preachers that are keeping people in babyhood so that they can control them. Might have to strike that from the tape. I'm kidding. That's the truth. You hear that? There's a lot of preachers who keep people in babyhood, a babyhood state of Christianity, so they can control them. Well, that's not what I want. Am I trying to keep you in a babyhood state of Christianity? So no, I'm trying to get you to grow up. Anyway, so the Spirit of God said this to me. He said, he can't lift up that which is held back. You say, oh, that makes sense. But part of what's holding them back is immaturity and the unwillingness to hear and go on. Is this making sense? I hope I'm getting this across. Psalms, we'll just look these things up. Why not? You got a Bible. It works. You work it with your thumbs. You know, everybody's using those things they use with their thumbs now. Open one of these. It's been used with thumbs for many, many years. Psalm 78. Did you find it? Psalms pretty easy to find, right in the middle of the Bible, pretty much. Psalm 78, verse 41. Yea, they turned back. Say they turned back.
They turned back.
One thing that irritates God is people turning back from what they know, and they turn back, right? And tempted God. It doesn't mean they're tempting him with their backs. No, it means they tested him. They were like annoying, you know. Getting a little testy there, aren't you? Right? They turned back from where they knew they were supposed to be, and they tempted God, and what? Limited the Holy One of Israel. And you can see that in so many churches, they're limiting the Holy One, the Holy Ghost, mm-hmm. right? By their belief, or frankly, their unbelief, or their unwillingness to believe. He can't lift up that which is held back. They limited him. He can't do it. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Go to Hebrews. Jane was right. We were going to be in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Find it. Mm-hmm. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 19, last verse. We see then that they could not enter in because of unbelief. The opposite of that would be they could enter in because of faith or because of belief, which is what we're talking about. So some people, I hope you're here, some people can't enter into what I'm talking about, or the next level of glory, because of unbelief. Mm-hmm. Is there a cure for unbelief? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's called hearing and hearing. Yeah. And hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. I've done that with some things. I'm doing it to this day. There's certain things that I just can't get around it. Something bothers me about it, so I get the scriptures and I listen to them and I say them until my faith grows to the place where I can hear it, right?
Yes.
And then I can have it. And I've done that with several different things. Mm-hmm. Says they entered not in because of unbelief. I don't believe that. I guarantee you, if you went to people and told them the basic concept that we're supposed to go from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory, especially if you say that last one really loud, they would say, I don't believe that. Mm-hmm. They would say, that's not what we believe. They always say we, like they're a combined group of people that believe. You ever do that with God? Well, we believe. No, it doesn't work on him. It's what you believe. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that. Well, and the function here is not entering in because of unbelief. Is simply not knowing God in that way. Mm-hmm. Can God translate people?
Yes.
Does God translate people?
Yes.
And when you know Enoch is a type of us, that's me and you, mm-hmm. in this day, then we have to go, I believe that that's what God is doing. We're going from one glory to the next glory to the next glory until we're out of here. Are you here?
Yes.
But the time is now to take the limits off. Who's the limiter? We are. God's not the limiter. We're the limiter. The time is now to enter in. How? By faith. We enter in by faith, and faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the word of God on the subject is known, and then it's beginning here. If someone is hearing this message for the first time, I don't care where they are, then faith begins here. That God does that, and God is going to do that, and you got to just make up your mind whether you're going to be one of those people or not, whether your faith will go there. Are you here?
Yes.
I'm going there. I would like you to go with me. Now, First John. I won't try to stay here too long. First John, way towards the end of the Bible. Get to the end of the Bible, you'll only have a little bit left. That's the end part. First John chapter 1, chapter 2. I wrote that down wrong again. First John chapter 2. That's because chapter 1 is so short. First John chapter 2, and I read this last week. Let's just go straight to 14. I have a lot to say on this, but I'm not going to tonight. I have written unto you, First John chapter 2, verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers. Now, fathers would be people that are mature. Right? I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, the word of God abides in you, and you've overcome the wicked one. But he said specifically it was the fathers, or the mature ones, who would come to a knowledge through maturity to know him that is from the beginning. Who is from the beginning? The Holy Ghost is the one from the beginning. Are you seeing this? Verse 13 says, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. He says it twice. Does that make a difference in the Bible? When he says things twice, yes, he's re-emphasizing it. He goes on to say, I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Meaning they're born again and they know the Father. Where's the Father? The Father's in heaven. The young kids will know that when they die, they go to the Father. Isn't that nice? Mm-hmm. It's good. The young men know they've got the Word of God. It can do something here and now. Mm-hmm. But the mature ones, the fathers who have maturity and age, right, in the spirit I'm talking about, mm-hmm. they know him that's from the beginning. And he's not talking about the Father, because he would have said that,
yeah.
right? And he already said that about the children. Mm-hmm. And I tell you fathers that after this long time in this age of growing in the spirit, now you know the Father, just like the kids know the Father. Finally, that would make no sense. Are you getting this? So you know him from the beginning. The Holy Ghost is the one from the beginning. And when you learn to know him as God, you will what? Worship him as God. That's a mature message. It's something a lot of people don't want to hear, and a lot of it's because they're babies. Mm-hmm. I worship you, Holy Ghost, is the beginning of a trail that leads you to the beginning and from the beginning. Who is at the beginning?
The Holy Ghost.
But we had Enoch at the beginning, and we're at the end. Are you seeing this? How it comes full circle. Mm-hmm. The beginning from the end from the beginning. Worshiping the Holy Ghost, knowing the one that's from the beginning. If you know him as God, you will worship him. So worshiping him is a trail that leads you to the beginning. Eventually, total transformation from glory to glory, which comes only from him. Can you see this? You think you can go from glory to glory without knowing the Holy Ghost and knowing him more in a greater and greater capacity, or knowing him that he's God, or worshiping him? No, you're gonna get stuck on one level of glory. You won't be able to go there. I hope I'm getting this across. So when I say the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost, why the vitriol? Why the hatred? Why the anger? Why the fear? I think that's probably what it is. They're scared that if you listen to me or come here, something might happen, or I might be so convincing, I will change your mind into thinking that the Holy Ghost is God and that you should worship him. You're probably right. Is it true? Well, what is that? They don't want to change. They don't want to hear that. Mm-hmm. They're happy and comfortable in their own little world, their own little level of belief. Yes. Might I convince you that the Holy Ghost is God today if you came here? Might he actually speak to you and manifest himself? Might you possibly even get saved? How do people get saved? By the Spirit of God. Saying Jesus is Lord by the Spirit of God. It's not the magic words, it's the Spirit of God behind the words. Mm-hmm. You understand? How about healed? Coming to know the Holy Ghost. Is it possible to get healed? What about the gifts of the Spirit? Who are the gifts of the Spirit by? They're gifts of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. They're manifestation gifts of the Spirit. How about delivered? How did Jesus cast out devils? By the Spirit of God. How about blessed? Mm-hmm. You're blessed by the Holy. How about your youth renewed? Oh yeah. Yes, you might. You might be convinced that he is God and that you should worship him. Go to Galatians chapter 8. You getting anything out of this? A little different tonight, but I feel like I'm being very methodical here for a reason. We're actually doing work. Work. So when you come to the place where you know that the Holy Ghost is God and that he's a person, and you come to the place where you go, I worship you, Holy Ghost, because you're God, and you get past all of your past teaching that told you that this isn't the way we do things. Did you ever have to go past your old religious thinking to go to a new place? Right? Did you?
Yes.
And it was good when you got there.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets gooder as you go along. It gets better. That I worship you, Holy Ghost, is sowing to the... You understand what I'm talking about? I worship you, Holy Ghost. It's when I use the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost, and I am worshiping him that is from the beginning. You understand that? Do you see the connection now? Does that enable him to do things for me that he won't do for somebody else? Yes, of course. It enables him to bring me to a level of faith in him to go to some place that I couldn't go without worshiping him, because he's the one that takes me there. Every transformation is by him. Galatians 6. Verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap. We know this on several levels. Do you understand? But when we sow to the Spirit worship, we're sowing something new. Can you understand that?
Yes.
Well, I've never heard about worshiping the Holy Ghost before. It's new to you. But we know him that is from the beginning. We're literally worshiping and sowing to the one that is from the beginning. What are you going to reap? You're going to reap from him that which is from the beginning. Is this too much?
No.
I hope not. Maybe we should move to a more comfortable setting so we can go longer. No. What would that be? The bathtub? Galatians chapter 6. Did I read it? Yeah. He that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap. Shall of the Spirit. Where are we going to reap? Of the Spirit. We're going to sow to the Spirit. That's what I talked about in the offering time. We're sowing to the Spirit. What are we going to reap? Of the Spirit. What are we going to reap? He blesses in glory. He blesses in levels of glory from faith to faith, right? You can see that this is where your faith should be. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. Is there faith in that verse? Can you believe that verse? Yeah. So when I sow to the Spirit worship, I'm gonna of the Spirit reap something that I haven't reaped before, because it's something I'm sowing that I haven't sown before. Mm-hmm. And then what does he say you're gonna reap? Life everlasting, or everlasting life. Now, everlasting life is a power of what? The world to come. When we sow to the Spirit, he is from the beginning, we're going to of the Spirit reap a power of the world to come. Are you getting this? Let me try to bring this down to our level a little bit. Everlasting life in your body. if that power in the world to come, what would that be? Everlasting life. Mm-hmm. Health. They have health in heaven, right? Over on the other side, health. What else do they have over there? Youth renewal, mm-hmm. right? Predominantly. And so that youth renewal and health, you will reap from the Spirit if you sow to the Spirit. Are you getting this? Mm-hmm. Everlasting life. So youth renewal in your mind. You think you're going to be in smarter in heaven? Well, I hope so. And we're expecting it. When you get to heaven, right? Now, I want you to think of this way. If you could learn, anything over time, isn't that true? Even at your regular intelligence right now, you could learn anything if you had 1,000 years to learn how to do basic math. But most of us are beyond that. If I had 1,000 years, what could I learn? Mm-hmm. A lot. When you sow to the Spirit, you of the Spirit reap everlasting life. If you're reaping the everlasting life in your mind, you're reaping the power of an everlasting life in your mind. When you sow financially, think what happens to a seed over time multiplied. That's why it comes back so abundantly. Are you getting this? Mm-hmm. If you take a seed and it makes 25 seeds, and then you take those 25 seeds and you plant those, it doesn't take very long until you got too many fields. You got too much. Yeah. What if you did that for everlasting life? It would be lots. So you, that's what you're, do you see what I'm saying? I'm trying to get this point across. That's what you're reaping. Mm-hmm. When you sow Holy Ghost worship, you're sowing something different to the same being, the Holy Ghost, and you're going to reap something different, but it will be a power of the world to come. Power of the world to come, you can look that up if you want. We won't for time's sake. That's in Hebrews 6:5. But in Hebrews 7, quickly, talking about Melchizedek, the high priest of the tithe, Abraham tithed to him mm-hmm. well before the law. So tithe wasn't, yeah, it was in the law, but it was before the law. Mm-hmm. Hebrews chapter 7, look at verse 16. Who was made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the what? Power of an endless life. So when you're receiving everlasting life into your situation, it is life that has carried on endlessly. That's what you're reaping. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I hope I'm getting this across. So either way, we require, in order to be translated, a paradigm shift from here to there. And it comes from over there. It requires sowing something different. Can you understand that? It's not going to happen with the regular Christianity and the way they're going and their, you know, their battles over what they believe. It's going to come from knowing the Holy Ghost as God in the earth today, sowing to him worship, because when you worship him, he reveals to you things he won't reveal to anybody else. And I, for one, am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to worship the Holy Ghost as God in the earth today. He is God. I know how I got here. I can't be shaken from it. He is here. I know where Jesus is. Mm-hmm. He's not here. Mm-hmm. I know where the Father is. I knew the Father when I was a little babe in Christ. I knew the Father, right? And then I grew up and I came to this place where I began to know the one that's from the beginning, the Holy Ghost, and I began to worship him when I learned that he is God. Right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not ashamed of that. I worship and know him that's from the beginning, and he's taking me to the beginning, and I'm preaching this message so you can go with me. I love the Holy Ghost. I know the Holy Ghost is God. I want to please him. You think about the faith chapter, verse 6, Hebrews 11:6. Without faith it's impossible to please him. He that comes to him, you got to know who him is. You come to the Holy Ghost, you believe he, the Holy Ghost is what? Is God in the earth, right? And that he, the God in the earth, the Holy Ghost, rewards you. And he rewards you with glory, the next level of glory, the next level. But you got to have those other things in order, and they all come in order, if you'd listen to me, by worshiping him. I know this is new to many, a new way to worship and walk with God, you would think, but it's really very old. Are you getting this? I'm almost done. It's really very old. How old's God?
Very old.
He's a little bit older than your grandpa, right? He's very old. He just brought us to this place. Well, the end's like the beginning. We know him that is from the beginning. You still in Hebrews? Go to Hebrews 4. We'll try to end with this verse. Thank you for your patience. Felt I was able to be very methodical this evening. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 3. For we which have believed do enter. Who are the people that are going to enter? People that have believed. So the belief that he is God, that he is the one from the beginning, we get to enter into a place with him that other people don't, right? Does it say everybody enters?
No.
No, we which have believed do enter. And there are some things that you can't have believed without worshiping the Holy Ghost and knowing him as God. Worshiping him, the Holy Ghost, is a different type of sowing. Have I made that clear? I'm almost done. Worshiping him, the Holy Ghost, is a different type of sowing, which will cause you to reap a different type of thing. That is a thing that is a power of the world to come. Worshiping will cause a different level or different type of belief. I believe in the Holy Ghost way different than I did 20 years ago. And it comes from studying the Word, obviously, but worshiping the Holy Ghost. My belief system has changed. I now believe God will do things that he wouldn't do before. You understand? Worshiping him causes a different kind of belief, and the main belief is that he's here and now. You begin to believe that God is the Holy Ghost and he is in the earth. My main belief when I was a baby was, where was God? God was in heaven. Yeah, he would answer prayers every once in a while, but it's a whole different world when he's in the earth with you, accomplishing things, transforming you, changing you from faith to faith, from glory to glory to glory to glory. And by this faith that we get by worshiping him, we're changed from glory here and now to glory that comes from the other side. Are you seeing this? Where does it end? It ends on the other side. That's why we're going there. So let this message sink down in your ears. It will change your outlook. It will change your future. It will change the way you believe about the Holy Ghost, who's God in the earth today. Let me pray for you, Holy Ghost. I thank you these people heard and listened, and that the things that went into them shall begin to sprout up and grow and completely change their outlook in life. Change the way they see you and begin to be transformed into your image from one glory to the next. Until we can just take off into that final glory. I claim them. I claim that this fruit will not disappear or fall aside in Jesus' name. And I ask you to bless them in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Struck God in the earth today. Holy Ghost struck God in the earth today.